Okay. All you hear me all right? Well, my title is How Do I Know God Loves Me? And taken really from Galatians 2, where Paul says, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This is a true story I'm starting with, and the names are real as well. Greg and Michelle started dating, and then within a few months, they said to each other that they loved each other and they got engaged. And Greg would often say to Michelle, oh, I love you, I'll do anything for you. But not long after they got engaged, Michelle got very ill. And the specialist said she needed an immediate kidney transplant. Well, she said, I'll ask Greg, he'll do anything for me. So she asked Greg and she was stunned, shocked, disappointed that Greg said, oh, no, I'm not doing that, ask somebody else. So it's one thing to say, isn't it, that you love somebody. It's one thing to say that you love your partner, husband, wife, child, whatever. It's a very different thing for it to be a reality. And I remember Ronnie Corbett being interviewed years ago by Piers Morgan. And Piers Morgan was challenging Ronnie Corbett. You never tell your wife you love her, do you? No, he said, I've never actually said those words, I love you, darling. But you do love her, yes. Does she know you love her? Asked Piers Morgan. And Ronnie Corbett says, ask her. She say definitely she knows I love her because not just of what I say, but what I do, how I behave. And that's the issue, isn't it? Words can be cheap. And in 1 John 3 that we read, you know, unless we love in action, then it's not real love, is it? And when we come to churchy matters, you know, anyone can sing and say, I love you, Lord. But this morning, I want us to think, do we really know? Do you really know that God loves you? Not just that he is love, which is the following chapter, 1 John 4, but that he loves you. And the answer has got to be in not just what he says, but in what he does. Like Ronnie Corbett said, my wife knows I love her because of what I am, in the sense of how I behave. See, love is not less than emotion, but it's much more than emotion. It shows itself in action. If you go to any beach, just stand on the shore, looking out to the sea, you see a wordless picture of the love of God. He is tirelessly working on the tides via the sun and the moon. You don't see it, you don't feel it, but God is a worker. He's always working. You can be sure of that God loves you by what he does as much as what he says. He's relentlessly blessed you. You just think now. We're not much good at thinking. Anyway, 2 Timothy 2, reflect on these things. God will give you understanding. Think about how the blessings of God all your life, year in, year out. Think of your worst moment when you've behaved so badly you really would not want that broadcast to everybody you know. Think of your worst moment. Can you think of a worst moment? I got loads of worst moments, unfortunately. Think of your worst moment. What might be in the category of your worst moment? And you'd be horrified if everybody knew. But the Lord knows anyway. He knew at the time, he knows now. But thus far, he's kept it a secret, hasn't he? He's not broadcast it to the world. He's allowed you the privilege of hearing his gospel. I was reading last week about Tom Hanks, one of the most famous TV actors. When I go to church, says Tom, when I go to church, and I do go to church, I ponder the mystery. Why are people as they are? Why do bad things happen to good people? Why do good things happen to bad people? And I just thought, of all the years you've been in church, Tom, why is it you haven't settled this question? Why don't you know the answer? It's tragic that somebody could sit in church. When I go to church, and I do go to church, he said, but he still doesn't know the basic problem. That God loves the world, but the world is in rebellion to God. And some of you, you've never stopped to thank God for his mercy. What if God had decided, I'm not going to bother with you. I'm not going to sustain you for 1 second, but here you are. As you look back over your life, all the protection, you know, a poor man was killed on the M4 last week. Why wasn't it you? The Lord's given you so much protection. How many near misses? You know, 40-odd thousand people have died from COVID, but not you. Why not? Did you think it was just luck? Do you think it's just good luck? You know, I used to have a poster when I was first converted to Christ. I bought a huge poster and put it on the wall of the physics lab where I taught, and it was from 2 Corinthians, and these were the words: we are hard-pressed, but we're not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not abandoned. Why are we not abandoned? He loves us. He loves us. I really don't like animated movies, but there's a great song in, I think it's Toy Story, one of the Toy Story ones, When Somebody Loves You. And I always think, when I've heard it, when the kids were little, grandchildren watching it, I always think, always, the love of God for me. Do you know he loves you? Do you? A drunken man once put his arm around me in a restaurant and shouted to his wife about 10 yards away, "This man found God love." Well, I didn't correct him, but actually I didn't find God. I wasn't looking for God. I wasn't looking for meaning. I wasn't looking for purpose. But wonderfully, the Son of Man came to seek and to save people who were lost. Do you see that about yourself? Isaiah 55, seek the Lord while he may be found. Is the Lord speaking to you this morning? Is he urging you to think, maybe for the first time in a long time, or maybe the first time ever? You know, Romans 5, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Still powerless. God takes the initiative, loves us. And if you are a Christian, do you ever think about the fact that nobody has ever become a Christian without fierce opposition from the devil? The Lord fights for us. Exodus 14 is a brilliant text. The Lord fought for us to become Christians. He still fights for us to keep us. That's love. You know, one of the arch atheists of our time, Richard Dawkins, was interviewed on a radio show. And he was talking about Darwin's book, famous book in 1859. And the presenter just said, Professor Dawkins, do you know the full title of the book? Because it's a very long title, The Origin of the Species, just a little bit of it. Do you know the full title of the book? And as Dawkins was, this is the arch atheist, as Dawkins was trying to think of the title, do you know the full title, Professor Dawkins? You know what Dawkins said? Oh, my God. As he was thinking. That, no, why do you say that? You're the arch-atheist, aren't you? Time after time, God shows his mercy to sinful individuals like Professor Dawkins and me and you. Why is our world so full of patterns, so ordered? Why isn't it just a random pile of pebbles? It's not, is it? See, good science is just correctly observing what God's world is like. That's what science, good science is. We listened, my wife and I, to a talk on the loyal love of God last week, and how the top CEO in a particular multi-billion dollar, you know, industry said that he valued loyalty above everything else. And he read from 2 Timothy where Paul, the Apostle Paul, could say, only Luke is with me. Everybody else has deserted me. He was abandoned. Have you ever been let down? Have you ever known what it's like to trust somebody and they let you down? It's devastating, isn't it? Imagine if God had just given me a chance of salvation. That would have been love, because I don't deserve anything. But he's offering to guarantee it. Now that's love, isn't it? His love for me is perfectly loyal. He called himself the Son of Man. Nobody else called him by the title. That was his own title for himself. He's so identified with people like us. His love for us is so immense. Remember when he was being baptized by a stunned John the Baptist. He's so identified with sinners. But supremely, he demonstrates his love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. John 3:16, you all know it. For God so loved the world that he gave. He didn't loan Jesus. We didn't rent him. He gave. That's love. I have all sorts of needs every day, food and water, to feel safe, to feel I belong, and so on. But wonderfully, he, because he loves me, meets my deepest need, my fear of death. And never forget what it cost him to accomplish that. In 1960, the Israeli Secret Service managed to track down Adolf Eichmann in South America. Eichmann was the brains, if that's the right word to use, behind the murder camps, the death camps. He was in charge of the millions of Jews who were slaughtered. And he went on the run in early 1945, and the Israeli Secret Service had tracked him and tracked him. And 15 years later, they got him, and they took him all the way back for trial. And they brought a witness, Dunur, his name was. He was a witness who survived the concentration camps. And he came into the witness box, and he looked across at Eichmann, and he wept. And the judge said to Dunur, "Oh, we'll give you some time. You're obviously upset at the atrocities." And Dunur said, "No, I'm just thinking how awful I could be in the wrong place at the wrong time." Have you seen that about yourself? Have you? A few years ago, there was an 11-year-old girl raped in an alley by the side of McDonald's. And there was a huge crowd of about 30 or 40 teenagers filming it. Now, I dare say, in the right place at the right time, those teenagers would have been nice boys and girls. Have you seen what you're capable of? That's why we need a saviour. Have you seen the love of God for you? The atheist Hitchens, who's dead now, at least he admitted, man is unquestionably evil. Yet God loves man, doesn't he? He loves you. He loves me. No, yeah, there have been times when you've been let down, perhaps. You've certainly let other people down. But you think of Jesus abandoned on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? And no answer comes. That is the only way that I can get to heaven. That's the only way I can be forgiven. For him, Jesus, to take all the punishment I deserve, all the punishment. Every bruise was for my sin. You know, in the late 1940s, in the Eisteddfod, you know, the big cultural event every August in Wales, there was a lady and she was singing in Welsh, "I Know My Redeemer Lives." And after she won, she found, it was a little tent being set up by a group of Christians. And she found the tent and she went in and she spoke to them and she wanted to tell them this, that halfway through the song, she was saved. Halfway through singing, "I Know My Redeemer Lives," she knew that she really did know her Redeemer lived. She knew that she was loved by God. Absolutely wonderful. Why? Why would God speak to her? He loves her. Why has he spoken to you umpteen times? He loves you. But I come back to my question at the start. Do you know, though, that he loves you? Do you know that he loves you? Amen. Mm-hmm.